You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You have your Bibles with you, and shame on you if you don't. But if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. I want to teach tonight on steps to answered prayer. And just a real simple message, what Brother Osteen used to call, John Osteen, my pastor, what Brother Osteen used to call a cornbread and bean message. But you know, we need cornbread and beans, amen? And this is basic, and we know this, but sometimes I wonder if we do. You know, we say we do, we're too smart. I think we're just too smart sometimes, and we forget the simple things. And so we're not getting our prayers answered, or something's not happening, and God's not moving in a certain vein in our life, and you know, it really comes down to somewhere we broke down, somewhere we're not praying, somewhere we're not believing, somewhere we're not standing on a word. Maybe we're praying about something that's not scriptural. Maybe we're believing for something that God doesn't promise. It could be that. But whatever the case is, you know, God's word is true. He's never our problem. He never misses it. Thank you for that enthusiasm. What I'm teaching is responsibility. That's something we don't always want to hear. But, you know, we are responsible when we pray to do our part. There are conditions to prayer. You know, some people get all upset when you talk like that, and they say, who do you think you are? You think you're a faith healer? No, I don't believe faith heals. I don't believe faith makes things happen. I don't believe faith is the cause. I think faith is the condition. God's the cause of our miracle. God's the cause of answered prayer, but faith is the condition. So I'm not working this thing. It's not me pulling levers and pushing buttons and manipulating God. Actually, what it is, it's me getting out of the box because I'm the one boxed in. It's me getting right, me getting in line, me getting where I should be because God's always where He should be. And He always does what He says He'll do. And so He's never at fault and He's never wrong. So we're the ones that need to line up. But He's where the power comes from. And He's where we're standing on His words, His promises. It's what He said. So when we believe, we're not making these words happen. We're not making promises come to pass. And we're not manipulating God and making Him move. What we're doing is meeting the condition that He gave us. You know, if Brookshire put a cell on and say, come down here Monday morning and at 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11, we're going to put, watermelons on sale for, 50 cents a piece. Well, there's a condition. You got to have 50 cents. You got to be there between 10 and 11. You got to be there Monday. Are you with me? And they offer them to anybody that shows up at that time and anybody that has that 50 cents. And so we're talking about conditions when we talk about faith. We're talking about believing and standing on the word. That generally is where unanswered prayer comes down to. It comes down to conditions generally we didn't meet. Either we prayed wrong, either we didn't believe, or are you with me? Something He didn't promise we're standing on, or we didn't fully appropriate faith. But notice what the scripture says, because this is a subject that is decided not by what you think or I think, but decided by the scripture. I believe Jesus knew something about prayer. I believe His words meant something. When He said something, that's the way it is. We can speculate, we can argue, we can go back and forth and have opinions and different ideas, but it really doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what God says. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7 chapter concerning prayer. In Matthew 7, verse 7, He says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks it will be opened. Now notice the initiative is always on the person that's wanting to receive. Now I realize this is not just talking about prayer, incidentally. He's talking about whatever you declare, whatever you say. Not just asking prayer. But it would apply to prayer. And so what He's saying is here, there's no prayer that's going to be answered that's not asked. Obviously, you got to pray, amen? And if you want a prayer answered. But He says in a general sense here, and this doesn't give us a lot of specifics here, He's just talking about prayer in general, coming to God in general and asking for something. And that's the context of it, because He goes on in the 9th verse, what man is there among you who, if his son ask for bread, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? That's the right perspective. That's the right picture we ought to have. We as children are coming to our Father and we're asking Him for things that we need. Things that He should supply. things that he as a responsible father provides. But the condition is we come and ask. Amen? Okay, so it's not just a legal matter. It is legal. But it's also a personal thing because this is our father. And we understand earthly fathers and earthly sons. An earthly father has a responsibility to take care of his children. But the son in this example has a responsibility to ask the father also. Y'all see that? Okay. So if he, you know, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them who ask him? Wow. Now that doesn't sound like to me that Jesus is saying, ask and you never know, something might happen. This is not the way Jesus talked. He didn't say ask and there's just multitudes of reasons why you might get an answer and you might not. Ask, and not knowing the will of God and knowing the nature of God and God being so much greater and higher than all of us, you never know whether you'll get an answer or not, but shoot one up there because you never know, something just might happen. Are you with me? And God doesn't always give us what we ask for, and God doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, wait a while. Are you with me? Did Jesus say that? I mean, I know we hear that, and preachers say that, and I are one. I'm a preacher. But see, it doesn't really matter what we say. What matters is what God says. And on this matter, Jesus spoke on this matter. And he said, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened unto you. Eighth verse, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone, not just certain people. Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Well, now obviously, there's probably some conditions he hasn't given us all the detail on, and he does in other scriptures. Because I know sometimes I ask and I don't get it. Are you with me? Why is that though? It's not because God has refused to give it to me. It's not because God's word's true. If I meet the conditions. So let's look at some of these conditions. Steps, we'll say, to answer prayer. We'll just take three. Just three simple steps out of the Bible, out of the word. Three steps to answer prayer. Turn over to 1 John 5. Let's look at that real quick, because that often comes up when we talk about prayer. In 1 John 5. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the Word?
Yes, sir.
Shouldn't the Word have final authority?
Yes.
Shouldn't it be the absolute end of the matter? I mean, it should be. Now, we speculate, and we can philosophize, and we can theorize, and we can theologize, and, you know, all we want to, but the bottom line, if God said something, either he told the truth or he didn't tell the truth. I don't know how you can get around that. When you're looking at the context of what he's saying, and we're big on context, and when you look on the repetitiveness of it, if he says it here and he says it there and he says it another place, says it another place, that's a pretty good doctrine. Everything should be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I think you should have a few scriptures on a basic doctrine, a major doctrine in your life. I think we can find that when it comes to salvation. I don't think that's a problem. You can find it easily when it comes to healing. You can find that concerning the peace of God. Many subjects you can find, various scriptures that say the same thing. So you got your own good ground, solid ground, when you have several scriptures repetitively that say this thing. And you look at the context of the way he's saying it, and what he's saying, who he's saying it to. This all comes together. Now notice in 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. 1 John 5:14. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, that's a big question. It needs to be his will.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's he's not saying you could ask for something that wasn't his will. So now we have more insight here. He's saying it has to be his will.
Right.
I often wonder at this, too, because people use this to make it sound like you never can know whether you can get your prayers answered, because really you never know what the will of God is. You often hear people say that. But the whole point of this is so you would have confidence. That's why John said this by the Holy Ghost, is so that you'd have confidence, not so you'd not have confidence, not so you wouldn't know. He was just saying, so you can have confidence now. We have this confidence. This is the confidence that we do have concerning prayer, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Oh my, but there's the rub. How can you ever know the will of God? Well, I think the will of God's real simple. The will of God's what God says.
That's right.
What He wills. What He wills is what He says. His word and His will are the same thing. I don't think it's really that complicated. I think we make it complicated. If we're going to go for answered prayer here, is what we're talking about here, steps to answer prayer, then make sure what we're praying is God's will. How can you know if it's God's will? It's a good question. God doesn't want you to be unwise. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:17, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So a good question was, what is His will? You say, well, you never really know what God's will is. Well, I beg to differ. I think we're smarter than we think we are. And in this case, I think we know more than we realize we know or are willing to admit. I know that sounds circular, but let's talk about this a minute. Think about this. Think about these scenarios. If someone sins against you, let me give you two choices here. What should you do? Should you forgive them or should you hold that sin against them? Well, now, how do you know that's the will of God? I mean, how do you know it's God's will for you to forgive that person? Maybe God does not want you to forgive that person. Could it be in this case, it is just not God's will that you forgive that person that sinned against you? Is that possible? I don't know of anybody that would try to make that case, incidentally, especially not ministers, preachers, and you sure couldn't make it with the Scripture, could you? So, do you know what God's will is for you when someone sins against you? Forgive them. But the question would be then, how can you be so confident? How can you be so sure? How do you know that's God's will? Well, that's what God says.
Yeah.
In fact, he says, Mark 11:25, it says, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any.
Yeah.
He goes on and says, or your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. I mean, pretty strong stuff there. But the point I'm making is, we know, and we're not off the hook, and we're not even confused, not even a little bit here, concerning the will of God when someone sins against us. I don't know of anybody be confused about that. I don't know of any Christian loves God that would tell me, well, you know, somebody sinned against me, and I just don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know whether I ought to forgive them or not. I don't know what God's will is for me. Are you with me? Well, I mean, that's pretty plain. And how would you approach that? How would you explain that to them? You take them to Scripture. And say, the Bible says right here that if you have aught against any, you ought to forgive them. That's God's will. Because that's what God says. Well, let me ask you another question. What if you ask God to forgive you? I'll give you a couple of scenarios here. If you ask God to forgive you, what do you think God's will would be? What do you think God would do? Would He forgive you or would He hold it against you? Are you sure now? I mean, can you be so positive that you know what God's will is in this matter? Can you really know what God's will is? See, I think there's a lot of cases we're absolutely positive what God's will is. There is no question that when I ask God to forgive me, 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, He's just, He's faithful to forgive my sin, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. When people come and ask forgiveness, I tell them God will forgive them. You tell them God will forgive them. Often we have trouble forgiving ourselves, and God has forgiven us, and that's something we bring up over and over. Have you asked God to forgive you? Yes, I have, 100 times. Well, if you believe He forgives you? Well, He says so, yes. And so we know it's His will to forgive you because that's what God's Word says. What if I came to God and said, God, save me? Do I really know if it's God's will to save me or not? Maybe I should go to hell. Maybe I'm not supposed to go to heaven. I mean, you see how ridiculous that would get, I mean, if you use that kind of logic. And if you're arguing with someone or trying to help someone, let's put it that way, that has come and asked God to save them, you would not tell them, well, you know what? God may save you. God may let you go to hell. We really don't know what God's will is. God is the creator and the maker of the universe, and so far beyond us, there's no way we could ever understand anything about His will. His will is deep. His will is high. His will is beyond the sea. His will is way off, past the pulsars and the quasars. And we're just here, and we never know what God's will really is. But we'll pray with you, and who knows, God may save you. And you know what? He may not save you. We really don't know. Now, who would ever say that? I don't even know any preacher would say that. Any denomination across the board. They would all say, well, the Scripture says, and they'd take you to, you know, Romans 10:13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Take you to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah, somebody. And we'd say, that's God's will. And how do we know that? Because that's what God's Word says.
Amen. That's good.
Suppose I'm in a store. I know I may be belaboring the point, but I think some points need to be belabored. You may say we're beating a dead horse. Well, in some churches, this horse is still alive. Yeah. And it needs to be beat. Suppose I'm in a store and I see something in that store I'd really like to have. Should I go pay for it or just steal it? Well, who knows? I mean, what is the will of God here? I mean, you never know what God... Is it God's will for me to pay my hard-earned money for that thing? Can I just take it and steal it? Well, no. God's... I can tell you without any doubt, with the utmost confidence, that it would be wrong for you to steal that, and the will of God would be for you to pay for that thing if you're going to take it home. Now, it might be the will of God for you to leave it on the shelf, but I mean, that's another matter. But it is definitely not God's will for you to steal it. Yeah. How do I know that? Well, Exodus 20th chapter, when it talks about the Ten Commandments, one of them is, thou shalt not steal. So now, see, already we've four scenarios there I've talked about, and you know exactly what the will of God is. No question, no confusion, no gray area, no special cases. Hello? Special case where God wouldn't save somebody if they call on Him to be saved? Special case where you don't have to forgive somebody? There's no special case. You've got to forgive. That's just what we do. Those are the rules of the house. So over here in 1 John 5:14-15, we said this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know He hears us. And if we know He hears us, we know we have the petitions we desired of Him. The question to ask here is, how do we know what God's will is? And the answer would be His Word. And that's a given. That was assumed when John wrote that. He assumed you were asking something He promises, something He said, something that it's in His Word, so that is His will. And so when you pray His Word, you're praying His will. And you can have confidence when you pray His Word that you're praying His will. And you can know He hears you, and you can know you have what you desired of Him. So I think the first step, paramount, first, numero uno. Okay? Muy importante. When it comes to answer prayer, number one, you need to find it in the Word.
Amen.
You hear Brenda praying all the time, and she's quoting Scriptures and, you know, praying Scriptures. And why is that? Because that's where our confidence comes from. You say, well, I don't know if God specifically talks about this. Well, think about it in general. Is it healing? Is that what it is? We have a lot of Scriptures on healing. You need wisdom? Got a lot of Scriptures on wisdom. Tells us specifically to ask for it and to ask for it in faith. So that would be the first thing to do, whatever you're going through, whether you need favor, insight, revelation, wisdom, whether you need financial help, whether you need healing, whether you need whatever it is. I don't care if it's forgiveness. We just talked about that. Salvation. We understand how to be saved. We get in the Word. We pray the Word. We get saved. We'll find out what God says about your situation, whatever it is that you need. If you have a promise on it, you have His Word on it, you have His will on it. Now, if you want answered prayer, these are steps to answered prayer. Not sometimes yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait a while. But yes. Because all the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen? Now, in light of that, that first step, turn to John 15. Good stuff. John 15. This is just a primer course, I mean, but this is something we need to hear, amen? And need to remind ourselves. Don't complicate the matter. I think we make it way too complicated, way too complicated. You know, God loves us. Just that scenario that Jesus gave us when we first started out there in Matthew 7 and 8, and then he went into the 9th, 10th verse, talked about asking a father for something that we need, food, you know. And he goes on, he talks about God, and he said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? You know, if you look at God as your Father, he loves you, and he the Lord's our shepherd. Amen? He provides for us. And, of course, the Lord, he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But see, there is a procedure here. You do come and you ask. And you ask on the basis of what he's promised, what he said he would give. Obviously, you don't ask for things that he doesn't promise. So first thing you got to find out, is it in the Word? Is it something that he says he'll do? Notice John 15, verse 7. It says, if you abide in me, John 15, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire will, and it, what you ask, will be done for you. Why is that? Now see, now we're getting a little more insight. I can ask what I want, and what I want will be done. Why? Because his word is in me, and I'm abiding in him. I'm spending time, I'm fellowshiping with him, I'm in his word, his word's in me, so I'm going to ask the right thing because I'm going to ask according to the word. And when I do that, I'm asking according to his will. Now all of a sudden, my will has changed to his will. How's that? My will's changed to his will because I have his word in me. I won't ask the wrong thing because his word abides in me, and I know those things I don't desire, I don't want those things that are not in his word. Isn't that true? And so the first step, find it in the Word. And that's what he's telling us here. He goes on and says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you will or desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Much fruit. I love that. Now most everybody has equated that, and we hear that in church after church after church, that bearing fruit is always souls. I think that's part of it, but that's not the context of what he's saying here. The context of what he's saying here is the fruit of answered prayer, which includes souls, but it, in context, he's talking about answered prayer. God wants you to bear fruit, not to have fruit wither and die on the vine, not to have prayers that get nowhere, that get nothing done, that dry up and die, but to have prayers that produce, prayers that bear fruit. And a way to have that kind of prayer is to have God's word in you when you ask. Amen? He says, by this my Father is glorified. It does not glorify God for you to ask and get nothing. Now listen, people can paint this any way they want to and say, well, you're being self-centered, being greedy. But the bottom line is this, God gets no glory out of prayers that aren't answered.
Amen.
What in the world, how does God glorify when I ask him for healing and don't get it? Or I ask him to be saved and he doesn't save me. Or I ask him to forgive me, he doesn't forgive me. Or I ask him for peace and I get no peace. I might as well pray to the wall. I can get nothing from the wall. That doesn't glorify God. People don't know God can pray and get nothing. You can pray to Buddha and get nothing all day long. What glorifies God is when you pray to him and get something. That's what glorifies God. And he wants us to get answers because it gives him glory when we get answers. But, you know, you can't just be praying for anything and everything. You have to be praying for what's in his word. And that's what he's teaching us. That's what he's saying here. Is that if his word's in us, you have every right to stand on healing. You have every right to stand on the peace of God, wisdom of God, direction and favor. Those are promises throughout God's word that he says he will give you if you will ask him. And you should pray with confidence and boldness and know that it'll glorify God when you get it done. He says this. This is good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Notice this. Now let's just go on a little further here. Ninth verse says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Man, that is so good. Joy comes from answered prayer. And God wants us to have answered prayer, but we've got to meet the conditions. Conditions are make sure it's scriptural, make sure it's biblical, spend time abiding in him, spend time getting his word in you. That'd be number one, you know, find it in the word. Number two, you can actually find right here. In fact, just back up here to the 14th chapter, the 13th verse, Jesus speaking. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. There it is again in the Son. 14th verse, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, that'd be step number two. Number one would be find it in the Word. Number two, simply put, would be ask in Jesus' name. Because my right to come to God was purchased through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't come in my own name, I come in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's a whole teaching in itself. That I'm not coming on my merit. I'm not coming on my work. I'm not coming on my goodness. I'm coming on the goodness and the merit and the work of Jesus. Amen. I'm coming in His name. In the name of Jesus, I have been authorized to use His name. I've been given a name that's above every name. Jesus gave it to me. I got it when I got saved. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12 tells us that. So when I accepted Jesus, I called upon the name of the Lord. And I was saved, Romans 10:13. And I was given that name. Now I am a Jesus person. That's what you are, a Jesus person. And we are Jesus and company. That's who we are. We are the body of Christ. And so I'm authorized now to pray in that name. Hallelujah. And He backs me up. He is my righteousness, my right to come to God. He is my holiness. He makes me worthy. He does all that. I don't come on my own righteousness. I come in the righteousness of God, which came through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, number two, when you pray, if you want you want answers to your prayer, you want to pray in Jesus' name. Often you'll see on TV people pray and they'll just say, Amen. I don't like that. I understand that, and I know that's popular because we don't want to offend. You know, nobody wants to offend anybody. Well, we can offend Jesus, we just don't want to offend anybody else. Hello.
Amen.
We can offend Christians, but we don't want to offend anybody else. God forbid that we'd ever offend some ungodly, atheist, heathenistic, hell-bent sinner, but, you know, we don't want to offend them. Wow. And we don't want to offend a Muslim or a Buddhist, you know. You know, you don't stump your toe and say, oh, Buddha. The world has made a cuss word out of the name Jesus. Mm-hmm. They'll say Jesus Christ when they're mad, mm-hmm. like it's a cuss word. But nobody says, oh, Buddha or oh, Muhammad. You know, the devil hates that name. And the devil hates that name because there's power in that name. That's why he hates that name. They tremble at it. The name of Jesus on the lips of a believer is a powerful thing. The devil would like to make it a cuss word and cheapen it because it has power on the lips of a believer. And Jesus told us to use that name when we prayed, and that if we'd pray in that name, that He would do what we prayed. And if we ask in that name, whatever we ask in that name, He'd do it. In that 13th, 14th verse, notice the 15th chapter in the 16th verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. Wow. So, now get this. Oh, this is good stuff. Jesus chose me to be on His team. You ever played baseball when you're a kid and they're choosing up teams, you know? You're on my team. Chose you to play on His team. Well, what are we playing here? What are we doing? What am I supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be praying in His name. What? I thought it was just kind of a privilege. Well, it is kind of a privilege, but it's more than kind of a privilege. It's what He chose us to do. And if we're not doing it, we're not doing what we were chosen to do. He chose us out of the world to pray in His name and to bear fruit. And whatever we ask in His name, He'd do it. God actually ordained us to pray. He chose us to ask in His name. So it's more than just a privilege, more than just an option. It's what we do as Christians. What? We pray in the name of Jesus. That's what we do. And you know what? Other people can't do that. People don't know Jesus can't do that. I've been chosen. You've been chosen to pray in His name. I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain and that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, He will give it you. Okay, heads up. I'm fixing to pick out some people here that are going to be able to pray in my name and get their prayers answered. Okay, Ted, I want you to pray in my name and you're going to get your prayers answered. Gerald, I'm going to pick you. And the rest of you are going, oh, come on, man, I want to be in on that. You catching this? So Jesus picked us out. Are you with me? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were picked out to do what? To pray in His name. And to get your prayers answered. It is the will of God that you get your prayers answered. Obviously meet the conditions, and that's why we have the Bible, so we know what the conditions were, what the steps were. You want to pray His will, which is His word. You want to pray in Jesus' name. In fact, turn over to 16th chapter. Well, right there in John 14, 15, 16. Notice the 16th chapter in the... Goodness gracious, there's so many verses here that say this. The 23rd verse, and in that day, talking about the resurrection in context here, when He rises from the dead. You will ask me nothing, Jesus nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Now see, this is some insight here, because when we're little kids, often we'll pray to Jesus, you know. But you're not supposed to pray to Jesus. You can worship Him and talk to Him, just like you talk to the Holy Spirit, talk to Jesus. I think we ought to fellowship with Jesus. But when you're asking, you ask the Father in Jesus' name. You say, well, that's being kind of picky, isn't it? Yeah, it is, really, but that's Jesus that was the one that was picky. I think you're just being way too picky. Well, you just have to take it up with Jesus. I didn't say that. He did. So, if anybody's being picky, it's Him. And I think I'll go with Him on this. Don't you think we ought to do that? So He says, in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. So we ask Father in Jesus' name. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Next verse. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Joy comes from answered prayer, see? These things I have spoken to you in a figurative language or figurative sense, but the time is coming when I'll no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father in that day, talking about the resurrection, in that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God. Well, that is powerful stuff. Wish I had time to get in all that, and I don't. But Jesus is saying, you ask in my name, and God will answer you. He's your Father. He loves you. And I've given you this right. So, you know, step one would be find it in the Word. If you want answered prayer. Now, if you want yes on the end of that prayer. If you want God to come through, then whatever it is you're praying, you find first, you find it in the Word first. Okay, that's the will, because the will is the Word. And then after you find it in the Word, you pray in Jesus' name. And then to seam this thing up, turn to Mark 11 again. We'll just turn over there. This helping you? I know a lot of us heard this over and over and over, but need to hear it again. Amen. I'm amazed at how people will throw out that, what I just started out with when I started teaching this. I'm amazed how they just throw out this idea that we cannot know God's will. I mean, you hear that constantly. Well, how do you know that God really wants you to have? How can you be so sure? I mean, that's so arrogant. Who do you think you are? The audacity. You to pray and thank God. You think God's just going to do that because you prayed that? Wow. You think all you got to do is just pray and all of a sudden God's just going to do that? You don't know what God wants for you. Oh, well, I know He wants me saved. I know He wants me to forgive people. I know He doesn't want me to steal. I know there's no special cases where that's okay. Hello?
Wow.
I mean, come on. Well, there's a lot of things we know.
Yeah, amen.
And we know them because God says that. Are you with me? I mean, I'm amazed at how people think they're making sense when they say things like that. It sounds so wise and religious when they say things like that. Oh, you could just never know what the Lord's will is. Well, I guess that's why we got the Bible, isn't it?
Praise God.
So we know it?
Amen.
Okay, so we pray His Word. We pray in Jesus' name. And then here in Mark 11, well, just read the 23rd. We'll start at the 22nd verse. We'll start there. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. All would apply. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, 24th verse, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe you received them, and you will have them. Well, obviously, this is a pretty important step too. You must believe when you pray.
Amen.
And you know, I kind of saved that for the last, because I believe until you find out what God's Word says, are you with me? And until you come in Jesus' name, it's going to be impossible for you to believe. Because believing is based, faith is based on the Word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So if you don't have God's Word on the matter that you're praying about, it's going to be hard for you to believe. And if you're not coming in Jesus' name, it's going to be hard for you to believe. But if you have God's Word on it, and you are coming in Jesus' name, boy, you can believe when you pray. And if you believe when you pray, you will receive what you pray for. You know what Jesus said? He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them.
Amen.
I like that. When do you believe? When you pray. I even like this, because he says you believe you receive it when you pray. That's even better too. Because as far as you're concerned, it's done. Oh, you haven't got the manifestation. Nothing looks any different, but it's a done deal. You believe you receive it when you pray. And you shall have them. But you believe you receive it when you pray. You sealed it when you pray. You don't walk away from prayer wondering. You already got it. It's a done deal. You believe it. And Matthew 21, it's a repeat of this. Matthew 21. Woo! Hallelujah.
That's good.
I just want you to get your prayers answered. Because you love me? Yes, I do. But even more than that, I love God, and I want Him to be glorified. And He doesn't get glory out of us praying and not getting our prayers answered. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of prayers I pray I don't get answered. But God didn't miss it. Either I prayed amiss, I didn't have a scripture on it, I wasn't believing, or something along those lines. But you know what? I can work on that. I can work on that. And I will. I'm going to. Are you with me? When I pray and something doesn't happen, I do go back to looking at me and working on this thing. Now, I got a scripture on it. Am I believing? Am I saying this in Jesus' name? But see, now, if God just arbitrarily chooses not to answer a prayer when He promised He would, then you would never know when He was in a bad mood when you prayed. That I can't live with. I have a hard time living with, well, in this case, God decided not to give me what He said He would give me. I prayed before and He got it. Prayed this time, didn't get it. But in this case, God held it back for whatever reason. God, He's God. He just does whatever He wants to. God is God. Well, then how would you ever have any confidence the next time you prayed?
Amen.
Next time you prayed, He may decide not to give it to you that time too. But this will help you. Stay with me on this. This is not condemnation. This is just instruction. And this should help us if we take this to heart. God's never at fault when it comes to unanswered prayer. And you know what? If you missed it, you missed it. Join the club. We've all missed it. Go back to the drawing board. Get back in faith. Get back in the Word. Get that thing straightened out, but don't you point that bony finger at God. He's not the one that's the problem here. Because if he is, you never know when he might be again. That I can't live with. That the scripture does not teach. How could you live with that? I'll take the hit every time. Are you with me? Because really, I'm the one that should be hit. Are you with me? You say, well, people, you're saying good people that love God and prayed and died were wrong? Yeah, I am. They went to heaven, thank God, and we rejoice in that. Are you with me? But God just didn't decide to take them. Y'all with me? It's not hard. I mean, I'm not being hard. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. He's perfect. We're all working on this, and people that die and go to heaven sure don't lose. They go to heaven. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in that. We're not going to be slamming them at the funeral and, you know, oh, goodness gracious. No, there's no condemnation here. This is instruction. We're working on these things. God wants us to get in faith and start praying and start believing so he can be glorified. Pure and simple. This is not a blame game, you know, where to go around condemning people. This is something for me to work on me. You work on you. Don't go around, you know, getting on everybody else's case. But realize this. God's not flaky. God doesn't just change from one day to the next. God's word can be trusted, can be stood upon, can be prayed, and you can have confidence that it will come to pass. Hallelujah. All right, now, notice this in Matthew 21, verse 22. It says, "And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Believing. I like to say that a lot of times when I'm talking to people. Instead of just saying I'm praying for them, I'll say I'm believing with you. Because just prayer in and of itself doesn't make things happen. Prayer does not make faith happen. Faith makes prayer happen. Pure and simple. I can actually believe for things and not be praying and have them come to pass. But I can pray for things and not be believing and get nothing. Because it's believing prayer that gets it done. You want to find it in the Word. You want to pray in Jesus' name. And you want to pray in faith, believing. Got time for one more verse? One more passage. James 1st chapter. We'll close this out. Hallelujah. Amen. This is just answered prayer 101. Now, you know, when people hear this and they get all upset, and I know people, you're saying my mama prayed and my mama died, and, you know, oh, goodness gracious, mama's in heaven. We thank God for that. I've buried people in our church. Goodness, we don't hold anything against anybody. We don't think any less anybody because they prayed and didn't get their prayer answered. But I'll tell you what, God never misses it, and I'm sure not going to blame God when something goes wrong because God's not the problem. God loves us. He's for us. He is a great provider. He is a great lover. He is a healer. He is a savior. He is a forgiver. He is a life giver. We are not perfect. We don't always get it straight, but thank God we got the word so we can work on it. Yes. Sometimes we get out of shape. Yeah. And have to get back in shape, spiritual shape. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But if we don't have this standard to go by, if we can't trust this, if there could be some other reason besides my believing, standing in faith, whatever, then stick the fork in, we're done, because that could be every time we pray. We'd never know. There are no special cases where God wants some people saved and some people go to hell. He wants them saved. And if you meet the conditions, you can be saved. Pure and simple. James 1st chapter, notice what it says here, 5th verse, real simple, real familiar, you could probably quote it yourself. 5th verse says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." But, 6th verse, "Let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind." Circumstances and bad reports, and every time, you know, we prayed, but oh, I heard this and I heard that. And oh, come on, man, set your rudder and let's bust through this wind and these waves. Let's don't be tossed to and fro with the bad reports and the moods that come and go, and the weather that changes. No, we set our rudder. We're believing God, and we're charting our course. We're determining our destiny. We're setting our sail. We're not letting the circumstances sway us. We're believing God. We're not wavering. We're not doubting. That man or woman that doesn't doubt will get an answer from God. It says in the sixth verse, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Whoa. Did y'all get that? I don't know. Well, let's read that again. Seventh verse. Let not that man suppose that he receive anything from the Lord. Well, I don't think you always have to believe. I mean, you just pray and shoot it up there. Maybe God will do it. No, don't let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why? Because he didn't believe.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, does it say that? In your Bible, everybody's Bible says the same thing here. It says he is a double-minded man and he is unstable in all his ways. See, one thing about God, he is not unstable. Another thing about God, he's not double-minded. And when God says he'll do something, he'll do it. So if something goes wrong here, guess who missed it?
Amen.
It's like that sign, if God seems far away, guess who moved? You know? So we go back to the drawing board. We work on these things, you know. And things that we need to continually work on and not forget is find it in the Word, pray in Jesus' name, and pray in faith.
Yeah.
Those are steps to answer prayer, and I don't think you can really improve on that. That's what the Scripture says in abundance. What is it that you need? That's a good question. What is it that's just gnawing at you? What is it that you need solved, that you need taken care of in your life? Listen, you need to get in the Bible and you need to find out what God says about that. You need to find a promise for you to stand on, and you need to start praying that promise in faith. Getting serious about it, not wavering, but getting very serious about it and overcome that thing and get an answer from God, because He's wanting to give you an answer. He's wanting to be glorified through answering your prayer. But you have to meet the conditions in order for that to happen. Hallelujah.